Hi folks, it's Cliff again with a quick sports report here, and sadly I put apologies in for John, who's been poorly again, so we wish him all the best and hope to see him back soon. And the first start with today's sport is of course local, Stoke, as we reported last time. New manager Narcis Pelac, and he says he has trust in the Stoke City players, both in terms of ability and approach, as he heads into a big midweek test against Portsmouth, which is actually tomorrow, that's Wednesday, so you'll know the score by now probably. But Stoke are back at the Bet365 Stadium, looking for their first points under the new head coach against a side which is looking for its first win since winning promotion to the Championship, although Portsmouth have drawn four of their first seven encounters. It'll be Pelac's third game at the helm, and if he can't predict the future, especially in this division, he knows that Stoke have to be better in every aspect than they were in Saturday's defeat at Middlesbrough. But he has confidence in the squad he inherited and their willingness to take on board the new demands and put in the work needed to drag the club up the table. He said the Championship is a tough league with very good opponents, very good clubs, most of them with very good history, and it's difficult to finish in the top 10. There are lots of clubs with talent and good players and good coaches. I can't tell you today where we are going to be because I don't know, but I can tell you we will be more reliable, more solid, and we have to improve our game in the basically all the phases, then we will see. But I'm happy with what I have. I trust the players, want them to give it to their all, which I think they are doing, and I'm happy with their body language and attitude. It's just about football getting things right. That's an understatement, isn't it? But unfortunately, he's lost the first two matches he was manager for, so we wish him well against Portsmouth. Meanwhile, Port Vale, things are looking slightly brighter for Vale fans, and the Sentinel says Moore looks for Valiant to back up win with another points haul. Darren Moore is happy but not fully satisfied with his Port Vale team following their weekend home win against Swindon Town. The Valiant saw his team edge past Swindon 2-1, and tonight they host Colchester United, who lost at Walsall last time out. It presents a really good big chance to make further inroads at the top of the League Two table. I thought it was very well deserved 3 points on Saturday, said Moore of the Swindon game. It was a dominant home display by us, and credit to the team and the work that we have managed to get on the training ground, I thought it showcased itself. So he's quite pleased and sitting prettily, depending on tonight's result, but sitting at fifth place in the League Two for the football. So just pulling out a couple of stories in and still in the Sentinel, sorry. A tennis story that tennis British number one Jack Draper has pulled out of this week's Shanghai Masters through injury. The 22-year-old retired from his quarter-final clash against Francis Hugo Humbert at the Japan Open on Sunday. He required treatment to an abdominal problem and after trying to continue had to call it a day. His camp says he does not yet know the extent of the injury but feels the turnaround from Tokyo to Shanghai is too quick. And the Japan Open was Draper's first ATP tournament since he reached the semi-finals of the US Open this month. The world number 20 now, he played for Great Britain in the Davis Cup a few days later, but sadly lost both of his matches. And he's complaining now that the current tennis schedule is too busy. It's very much like the cricket and the football, really. Everybody trying to make the money, aren't they? A rugby union, if you're interested in that, well, it's good news for the Premiership Rugby has been, and ITV have signed a 2-year rights deal extension. That will see 7 Gallagher Premiership games broadcast free-to-air this season. So no need to, it'll be on ITV, no Sky or anything else required. The fixture schedule, which includes the final in June, begins on Saturday with a West Country derby between Bath and Bristol. And other confirmed matches are Leicester's clash against Gloucestershire on October the 19th, plus Harlequin's game with the Tigers on December the 28th. Manchester United. I'm sorry, Premiership. Premiership is pretty much running out as we thought, with Manchester City and Arsenal vying it out at the top, but Villa doing very well, as Liz will be pleased about, and one or two other clubs taking a lot better start than they had done. But the one who's suffering at the moment is Manchester United. Bad start to the season again for them, and as they report, they're saying that patience is wearing thin over the lack of tactical focus with Erik ten Hag, who failed to get the best out of his team and is not doing very well at all at the moment. So the they're hoping that it's a lot of news. It always makes news when a club loses a few matches, or the manager is going to get sacked, and then the merry-go-round starts out and who's going to replace him. So there'll be lots of social media and lots of gossip and stuff about it. But at the moment, Manchester United are confirming that they are staying by their man, and hopefully that will mean that he will get another season out of it if he recovers fairly quickly. And a little story in the Sentinel tonight about Charlie Adam. Those Stoke City fans will remember him as a player with Stoke, a popular lad. And he says he's finding he's feeling at home, right at home on the Lancashire coast, because he said he's now the manager of Fleetwood. And this is all pretty new, he said. It's only 2 years since I retired as a player at the age of 36. But he quickly moved within Burnley's setup under Vincent Kompany while finishing his coaching qualifications, first as their loans manager and then the under-21s coach. Then late in December last year, Adam heard back from Fleetwood Town. They had sacked two managers in 4 months, hadn't won a game in 9 matches, and were sinking fast towards League Two. But Fleetwood also had a history of giving chances to and maintaining patience in inexperienced coaches. They've been promoted 6 times in 10 years to reach League One, and now they wanted someone to rebuild a squad in League Two. And Charlie says that I'm learning on the job, but I'm at a club that understands that I will make mistakes, and hopefully they will be patient. So good luck to Charlie. Say many good memories of him battling his way with as a Stoke City player some time back. And cricket, again, it's been a good summer for cricket, but again, a very busy one. And the Aussie defeat leaves Baz with some big questions to ponder, says the article in the Sentinel again. And it's Chris Stocks there. England certainly looked better than they did in the latter days of Matthew Mott's reign as a white ball coach, as they fought back from 2-0 down to take their one-day international series against Australia to a decider. However, defeat in that match in Bristol on Sunday illustrates there is still a long way to go. But the freshness in personnel and mindset was evident as they pushed the current world champions all the way across 5 matches. Ben Duckett, Jacob Bethel, Bryden Cors, Matt Potts, Jofra Archer playing his first T20 cricket for 18 months all showed that they can be part of the future for this one-day team. Yet the road to the 2027 World Cup is a long one, and if England are to have any chance of repeating their win in the 2019 tournament under former captain Owen Morgan, there will be many difficult decisions for Brendan McCullum to make once he adds the leadership of the white ball teams to his current role of test coach in January. So they're asking a lot of him. But they will be deciding whether the quartet of Captain Josh Butler, Joe Root, Ben Stokes and Mark Wood will be in his plans for the next World Cup in Southern Africa. For all four will be 36 or older come the tournament. And given the schedule, Butler will be the only one to return for England's white ball tour of Caribbean that starts later this month. And that's presuming he's recovered from his calf injury. So it remains to be seen. We drew the T20 series and we lost the 50-over one-day international series of 5 matches. So it's not been a terrific year for England. But then again, Australia were and are the world champions. So we hope that things will look better in the next year. And finally, a return to the Sentinel for, a very, very sad story, I'm afraid, about the Potter's Half Marathon, which is a fantastic legend in this city. You know, we have 2,500 people running and raising money for communities, for charities, for all sorts of good causes in the city. It's a 13-mile race around the streets of Stoke-on-Trent, and there's the half marathon itself, there's a relay, there's a half marathon walk and a half marathon walk relay, and two junior races as well on the day, and it's fantastic. But unfortunately, the volunteers who helped him, act as stewards on the day, have been subject to abuse by road rage drivers in the city. They've reported verbal abuse, drivers moving cones and blocking the roads, and particular problems were reported in the Sneed Green area on Milton Road. And now volunteers are calling for everyone to operate in pairs at next year's race for their own safety. Signs have been advertising the road closures. It's only for 4 hours between 9 and 1. Been there for weeks, and people should be ready for them. But one volunteer said one man parked his car across Milton Road and totally blocked it at one point as he refused to turn around. Then another driver also refused to turn around, and several were aggressive, shouting and swearing, and one guy even drove his car right up to 1 foot in front of a volunteer. There was a lady who was trying to get to work and was very aggressive towards the volunteers as she tried the routes and couldn't get there. And she tried to mount the pavement where another lady was standing holding a baby in her arms in the pushchair at her side, which is terrifying to see. So it's very, very sad on that. And, there were one team of volunteers received help from a local resident who intervened with a few drivers to advise them of alternative routes to take. And it's very sad to say, but as a team, we felt very stressed by what should have been a fulfilling experience to help our local community raise the money that they desperately need. But it's one which I'm not sure we will ever do again. So it's very sad news there, but congratulations all round to those brave 2,500 people who came from all over as well to help raise money for a variety of charities, but lots of good causes that volunteers in the volunteer sector need the money to help them, to help people in the communities. So I hope any of you who were involved or who enjoyed it and had a good day, and thanks very much to all those particular volunteers who acted as stewards to make it go as smoothly and as swiftly as it could. So that's it from me, folks. Thank you very much indeed. A brief catch up there, and I hope to be back with you again next time, but hopefully John might be with me as well, but we'll let you know. Until that time, please stay safe, look after each other, and take it easy.